broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
The fact of the matter is, as the president described, it's a graphic photograph of someone who's shot.
All right. Enough of that. Welcome to another Phil Hendry show. 877, oh my God, 877-876-PHIL. What is going on, man? What is going on? Oh, I better watch what I'm saying. President Obama says he will not release the images of a dead Osama bin Laden. Was that the right move? A high school cheerleader gets kicked off her squad after refusing to cheer for an athlete that she said raped her. You shouldn't talk about it, though, hon. You know, don't talk about it. No wonder you got kicked off. You brought up something that was wrong. You don't want to do that. Plus, a woman in Dubai is suing her husband for not having sex with her. I ought to just sit here all hour, man, and not say a word. You know, I mean, there's no point. We were going along. We were smoking along real good there, man. But you know what? That's just too much. Okay. 877-876-PHIL. Although, you know, we don't take any calls during our news and comment hour. Well, I'm very happy for the Navy SEALs for one reason, and I think it's the, you know, I know they did the whole thing against bin Laden. That's really important. I just like seeing guys doing their job well. I love to see people who know how to do their job. We live in a society today where fewer and fewer people do a good job. Everybody's making an excuse. Everybody's talking about how if only, if only, if only. Everybody is saying, oh, well, I can't, that's above my pay grade. Everybody is saying, oh, I, you know, that's not my job. Everybody is saying, well, I'd love to, I hear you, but let me get back to you. I got to talk to my superior. Everybody's digging in their heels. Everyone has their little power base. Everybody, they won't be talked to this way. Everyone's got a little placard for their desk that says who they are and what their little job is. Everybody is sort of carved out their little niche. But go the extra mile. I mean, really be a pro. Create. Knock hell out of this world. Set a few world's records. Surprise people. Shock people. Invent something. Are we doing that? No, man. And no wonder we thirst, we hunger for people like the U.S. Navy SEALs, the Sullenbergers, whoever we see, someone who is apart from the norm that we see every day. Because what we see every day are people that wouldn't go out of their way a half of an inch, man, for anybody or anything. They just want to get to 5 o'clock and get home because they've got fill in the blank to watch on TV. I mean, let's face it, people. What the Navy SEALs did, that operation, that is so far beyond our understanding. It's not even funny. That's why we want to meet those guys. That's why we want to talk to those guys. That's why we want to be around people like that. We've never seen anything like that before. We never see it in the course of our day. I'm not talking about guys that are blazing away with guns, going in and killing a bad guy. I'm talking about people that are doing an outstanding job. They're doing such a good job that it changes the way we do business. It changes things for the better. Everything around it changes because they're doing such a bang-up job. They're doing such a remarkable, a revolutionary job. The level of excellence is beyond our wildest dreams. Every day we go in and we watch ourselves or we watch other people do the job, and it's like, you know, you might as well be watching paint dry. It's the same. Well, remember that commercial they used to do? What was that one that they did?
They're doing for like Wendy's, same place, same thing.
Oh, yeah, same place, yeah, same thing. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah, I'd be going out to lunch.
going out to lunch. These guys are shuffling out the door, and same place, same thing, and just these boring, tired bastards going out to have the same thing, same place, same lunch, same. And that's the world we live in, morning, noon, and night, 7 days a week. Do we inspire anybody with the work that we do? Do we have people stop by our desk or by our workshop or by our office? Or do they read anything we've written? Or do we have people who say, wow, you know, you are amazing what this guy, what this woman does. I mean, she's breaking records. These people are really stirring it up. These people are doing something. We live in a country full of people who got 9 million different reasons why they can't get anything done, and none of it's got to do with them. And I said to the crew, and I said this during the pre-show, and I'm not trying to talk about myself, but this is an example of what I mean. When I was at the Worldwide Radio Summit on Saturday, we were on a panel, and I was with some great people. I talked, you know, I mentioned Dr. Drew, Rick Dees was there, Big Boy from Power 106, bunch of professionals and some consultants and some cats that are in management, and people are saying, you know, Phil, you are one of the legendary talents in our business. You are one of the great talents in our business. Little do they know the gut-wrenching and teeth-grinding effort you have to put into every bloody show, everything you do every day. But they would say to me, man, the stuff you do, that's funny as hell. I mean, how did you think of doing those different things that you do? How did you think of doing this? How did you think of doing that? And, you know, I'll give them something simple like, well, I mean, it was just an instinct. But they have no idea, and I'm not about to go into it. They have no idea the battles that you have to fight. You have no idea. So when we see a Navy SEAL, when we see a Captain Sullenberger, when we see people that defy death to save the lives of others, and they do it for 54 grand a year, that's so far beyond our experience. We'd have to be reborn 6 or 7 times to even understand it. 54 G's a year for doing that? How many of us are even in that ballpark when it comes to commitment to career, courage, commitment to performing at a high level and doing it for, let's face it, not the money? Henry David Thoreau once wrote, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Do you know what that means? It's pathetic. It's pathetic. The mass of men, he wrote, lead lives of quiet desperation. That the majority of people on the human race, on the face of the earth, are walking around tired and bored and completely disillusioned and wondering how it's ever going to change. I mean, that's what you see when you go to the, I don't know, like a restaurant, and you're going to sit down and just look at guys, some guy across from you, he looks like he's having himself a great time. He's having lunch with his boss. He's got to listen to his boss's bad stories and bad jokes. He's got to sit there. He is quietly desperate. Where am I? How am I going to break out of this? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How can I change my life? And you have to seize the moment, you know. You've got to take most of the time when we change our lives, we have to make a pretty gutsy call. Now, it's not a gut, you know, we've heard the term gutsy call with relation to President Obama and what he said ultimately to the commanders there on the ground and elsewhere, let's go ahead and kill this guy. I mean, that's a momentous decision, but he's a president of the United States. That's what happens at that level. But in our own lives, we're making those decisions all the time. A gutsy decision to do what? You know, to change a job, to change a marriage, to be alone for the first time in 20 or 30 years. You know, these are things that, these are just as big. But ultimately, to do something, whatever your art is, whatever your profession is, whatever your craft, whatever your job, to do it at such an amazing level that you command the respect of your fellows, this is a great achievement. We're never all going to be that famous. We're not going to be like the Navy SEALs that killed Bin Laden. This will go down in history. This is now in the history books. This is something that in American history, 100 years from now, American school children will hear of this terrorist who had murdered 3,000 people in New York City 100 years ago and who was ultimately, you know, killed some 10 years later. That was the tenacity of the American people and the American military that for 10 years we stayed at it and we found this guy and we killed him. That's changed, in my opinion. If you're a guy, if you're an Arab, if you're an insurgent or a terrorist or someone who considers himself an enemy of the United States, you're on notice today, man. You are on notice. You may hate us. No question about it. You hate our guts. We got that. We know. We heard. We got the telegram, man. So there's no question about that. But you just got put on notice that your ass is, we ain't never going to forget about you. And the best we can do as Americans is continue to support that. But when we look at those SEALs or anybody else that achieves something at that level, we ask ourselves, now where is my, you know, do I have a level of excellence in me? I mean, can I really knock that bloody ball? Can I go for the fence, man? What am I doing with my life? Man, I want to swing for the fences, you know? To me, that's the lesson of that. That's what I take away from all that stuff. Do I need to meet the SEALs? Hell yeah. If a guy said to me, hey, Phil, do you want to go down to the Irving Shopping Center? The SEALs are signing autographs. Yeah, sure, I'll go down. But it isn't so much that for me. For me is taking a look at that, a historic moment, just like all the historic moments that have touched me in my life. United 93, that really, really affected me. Those people. That was an average group of people who were on their way to wherever, and history that day decided their fate would be something completely different. That the fates had something else in store for them, and that they too would be chosen to make history. They would lose their lives that day, but unbeknownst to them, they would make history. And other moments, you know. So I just hope, man. I hope in my life that whatever I'm good at, I mean, whatever I'm really good at, I can do it as well as those guys, you know?
Yeah, but you're not going to save nobody's life or nothing.
I ain't going to save nobody's life, no. Is that what you think?
Yeah, well, are you going to be like an ambulance driver?
No, man, I'm not going to be an I think I'm pretty well stuck in a job that I got, you know?
Well, no, I know what you mean. I mean, you just got to keep trying to be good, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're not bad.
All right, thank you.
You know, but you got a long way to go.
Thank you. Yeah, I got a long way to go. Fine, okay. Just so long as I can get there. That's all I'm asking here. Okay, now, it's time for tea. So that was my little sermon, and you can do whatever you want with that. A husband doesn't have sex with his wife in Dubai. That'll get you sued for $12 million. You bet. Plus, which of your favorite TV shows will get the axe? We'll tell you the shows likely to get canned in the next few weeks. Check us out on the web at www.philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. And don't forget our number, 877-876-PHIL. And more importantly, our website, philhenryshow.com, where you can go and get your backstage pass, your BSP. And when you have a BSP, see, if Bin Laden had a BSP, he wouldn't be SOL, man. He wouldn't be DOA, baby.
Hey, DOA or who?
Yeah, if you DOA, man, he must have been like the crab by the report of DOA.
Dead on arrival? You mean you think the crab's down there? Here's Bin Laden, dead on arrival. Okay, thanks. You think they're filling out some forms down there?
Yeah.
Maybe. But that cat is definitely dead. So anyway, Dubai wife sues husband for $12 million for depriving her of sex, as well she should. An Emirate man, or as they say here, an Emirati man, which I don't even know how to pronounce that, do you?
Let me look at it.
Don't put it in my face. Read it over there.
Emirati.
All right, Emirati. I guess you pronounce it like it's a car. An Emirati man was being sued for 45 million dirhams. for not having sex with his wife.
Dirham.
Dirham. It's a Emirati or Emirate piece of currency. That would be $12.25 million for not having sex with his wife, who claimed that his failure to perform caused her mental anguish, a court heard. He said, but she's 800 pounds! No, the unidentified woman said her husband did not sleep with her during the first 4 months of their marriage. That's kind of whack, isn't it? In 2008, and after that, she later discovered he suffered from erectile dysfunction.
That ain't his fault.
Well, see, that's the whole thing about premarital sex, I guess. You get this stuff figured out beforehand. This is according to the Gulf News. She told the court, when he did it for the first time, he treated me inhumanely and inappropriately. She did not elaborate. Court records filed by the woman allege that her husband, who she is now divorced from, failed to fulfill her needs. She said, I discovered later on that he suffered from erectile dysfunction. He was exactly the opposite of what he claimed to me before we signed the marriage contract. I suffered mentally, emotionally. I lost any hope to become a mother. Considering the conservative Arab values and the woman's situation in such a society, I remained silent, and I tried to adapt by praying to God that things would improve, praying that someday his erectile dysfunction would go away. Please, dear God. Anyway, he treated me roughly, and he refused to support me financially or provide me with a decent shelter. He made me resign from my work, hence I lost my only income. I had to borrow money from family and friends. Boy, what a great marriage. So this guy's not having sex with her. On top of that, he's starving her. He's treating her like a slave. And what the hell, you know?
I understand that you go to work and you don't figure that out.
Because they didn't have premarital sex.
Yeah, it's a very conservative society, man.
Well,
it's a conservative society, bud. What are you going to do? You know, people, and even in America, many people don't have premarital sex. And I'm not, I don't blame them. Because generally, you know, if you love somebody, you know it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. You know, it's not going to have any problem if you love somebody. This guy had erectile dysfunction.
You should have had that Robert Dole commercial on Viagra.
Yeah, that's right, man. Why don't you pop some of that Robert Dole commercial down there, man, on Viagra, or those guys going Viva Viagra, whatever the hell it is. And that would have helped, I'm sure. Not. Considering the conservative Arab values and the woman's situation in society, I remained silent. That's a pathetic line, isn't it? Now, according to records, the ex-husband, who is a wealthy businessman, divorced the woman after 15 months. Maybe he wasn't turned on to her, you know? Maybe she had, I don't know. It's but to sue somebody for that kind of bread, $12 million, this cat obviously is loaded. But here's the other thing. This isn't about the fact that he didn't give her sex. This is about her wanting to get a little bit more of the community property, I would think.
Yeah, probably, man. Probably some kind of fancy way of doing it.
Who knows what the marriage laws down in the United Arab Emirates are, or is, or am. He was a sweet talker, and after we got married, I discovered this guy's full of crap. I discovered he's a womanizer who married more than 12 times. Although he was a former public figure, that didn't prevent him from allegedly manipulating decent girls and spending weeks of pleasure with them before ditching them. Following the divorce, he stripped me of all my jewelry, which he gave to me as part of the dowry. I ended up emotionally and psychologically and financially broke. I visited psychological clinics for treatment. I'm just reading it the way it would be read if this were a Japanese film and it was dubbed.
Oh, yeah. Do it again.
All right, so if this was a Japanese film and you saw them, she would say, following the divorce, he stripped me of all of my jewelry, which he gave to me as part of the dowry. Anyway, the case is pending before the Dubai courts, and I'm sure in all of their wisdom they'll figure that one out. Oh, God. All right. And finally, here's one that I'm familiar with. Oh, we don't have that much time, but the TV networks are doing what they call their upfronts. This is where they decide what shows they're going to put on TV next fall. As TV executives huddle in screening rooms the next few days watching pilots for proposed fall series, they're having to adjust to a couple of big surprises. Not long ago, few would have predicted that American Idol would still be TV's number one show, even without Simon Cowell. And even fewer would have guessed that the most watched comedy, Two and a Half Men, would be facing life without Charlie Sheen. Well, anyway, it's been a rough year for broadcasters all the way around. The major networks got pummeled by critics for a slate of uninspired new offerings last fall, which no doubt help explain why each suffered notable ratings erosion this season. Number four, NBC, was hammered the worst with double-digit declines in major categories. Among the longest-running shows that are in the industry's lingo, on the bubble, ABC's family drama Brothers and Sisters, NBC's Parentally Endangered comic caper Chuck, and Fox's crime drama Lie to Me. Other series such as NBC's heavily publicized The Event, ABC's superhero drama No Ordinary Family, and CBS's The Defenders are considered near certain bets for cancellation. It's a brutal process. I've been involved in it a couple of times where you just sit there waiting for the phone call. And here, I'll tell you how brutal it gets. If we have any time, well, I'll tell you on the other side, it's brutal. Sometimes they tell you to go to New York, and you think your show's going to be picked up, and then they tell you, no, it isn't, and they give you a ticket to turn around and go back home. Seriously. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's right. The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, brother. And on this show, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Sometimes all the way to the can. Now then.
What?
Anyway, TV networks are deciding who's in and who's out. So I just want to finish the story because I think you might find it illustrative, you know?
What's that mean?
Like illustrate?
Yeah, like paint a picture?
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, when they do this thing in May, it's called, oh, is your TV show going to be on the air or not? Maybe you broke your ass, you know, producing one or writing one or starring in one or being an actor in one, whatever it is. And I've lived through this process myself because I was in a couple of shows that one did actually get picked up. One actually went to series, and it's too bad because it sucked. Now, anyway...
I know which one you're talking about.
All right, never mind. So now, what they do is they'll say, oh, yeah, we want to make your travel arrangements. I mean, they really get you jazzed up, man. It's like it's the most psychotic thing in the world to say, we want to make your travel arrangements for New York. Oh, wow, really? Yeah, you know, your show is up for being on the schedule, isn't it? Yeah, that's the whole thing. And do you know the guy that makes the schedule? All kinds of crap. So you go, yeah, okay, and will you be available this week? Sure. So you're really getting hyped up. Then I've heard this has happened to some people. They pack their bags. They're waiting for the limo to take them to the airport that will fly their ass to New York where they will be told that their show is on the schedule, and the limo never comes. And when they call to find out, oh, you know what, they're not picking your show up after all. I mean, it gets that close. Or I've heard of people going to the airport and their ticket isn't ready because they didn't buy the ticket because you're not going to be picked up. Or I've heard of people get on the jet, they fly all the way to New York, they get to New York, and they say, can I have my room? It was given to somebody else because your show is going to be picked up. I mean, this is the kind of heartless nonsense that goes on with these guys when they're picking these TV shows. Have you ever heard anything more... just, I mean, blatantly cruel?
Yeah, but maybe it's the only way they know how to do it, because they don't know what one they're going
to
do.
Well, I mean, that's what I figure. I try to think, you know, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, it's such an exacting process that, but, I mean, I think, don't you think you ought to have it, I mean, to me, that sounds like people are not sure at all.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, think about it, man. You know, okay, let's have this show, and this show. Well, wait a minute. I mean, they're going, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, even to the point when a cat's at the hotel waiting for his room.
Yeah, I mean, you should be at least sure enough so you're not going to go all way saying, I better cancel his ticket.
Exactly. I mean, at some point, if you don't have in your mind a good, solid look at what you want to do on the TV schedule in the fall... and you are going back and forth and going back and forth to the point where you are not sending limousines to pick people up to go to an airport because you've decided, no, I don't want to do that. What about this show? Yeah, let's go with that. Well, that means that this guy is going to get kicked out of his room. Okay, you mean he's already there? Yeah, we'll kick him out of his room and put this person in there. Now, wait a minute. On second thought, kick both of them out of that room and call this guy up. Meanwhile, how many people have been called? How many people have been kicked out of rooms? How many guys are waiting for limousines that never come? I mean, it is a sadistic process, I think, and it's it'll never change. That's just the way it is. But it is interesting.
Well, what about you? Didn't you go back to New York and all this stuff like that?
No, actually, what happened? I was on a show called Teachers, and it wasn't all that great. It was six episodes, but I really liked the people that I worked with. It was really a great group of people, but That show was a spring replacement, and they didn't go. You didn't have to go to New York for that. It was at the Ritz-Carlton in Pasadena. And I remember a limousine picking me up and driving me to the Ritz-Carlton in Pasadena. For some reason, I could not have a good time.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, I'm probably getting into some stuff that I shouldn't get into, but it was a bad time in my life. Let me just put it that way. It should have been a great time, and like I said, here's a show that I was in, and we worked very hard, and got picked up, and we're going to do 6 episodes, big deal, but I remember not having a good time at all during that thing, and just not enjoying myself, you know, and I should have been having a ball, but my life really blew.
Your life always blows.
Yeah, man, you always got bad stuff going on.
Probably. My life always blows.
Well, it is. You're always saying,
I ain't moping around any more than you, man. You got to see yours. You take a look in the mirror sometimes at yourself. You are like Mr. Mope, Mr. All-Time Mope-a-Dope. So anyway, that's that story, and it sucks. All right, now, I dig this. This is cracking me up, man. I think I'm gonna laugh until I lose control of my bowels on this one. Most Americans wouldn't vote for Palin or Trump.
That is pretty funny, man. You think about all the popularity.
I mean, I'm going to say something right now that a lot of people are going to like, but I'm giving it to you straight, okay? Understand. Understand that I'm a conservative. I'm a George Bush fan. I have resisted, but I'm a pragmatic guy, and I'm not, I am telling you, I'm not a guy that is my party or my political movement come what may. I want whatever works for my country is what I want, see? Now, that's why I can say, good job, President Obama, but nobody's going to tell me that President Bush didn't have anything to do with it, because that's just not true. It's not that I'm being ideologic. It's not that I'm being partisan. It's just not true to say that President Bush's very, very difficult stewardship during this traumatic time had nothing to do with the final capture of this man. Having said that, I give all due credit to President Obama. Of course I do. Of course I do. And I agree, it was a gutsy call. They were going to take this guy out. First of all, they were going to take him out using bombs of some kind. They were actually going to fly the stealth bomber from... Where the hell were they going to fly it from?
They were going to fly all you from America.
They were going to fly the stealth bomber from the United States. It has that kind of range. It has that kind of... Can you imagine that? They were going to fly the stealth bomber all the way from the United States... And just drop a bomb on his ass while he sat down to a nice, heaping, helpful bowl full of Muldo meal. As, yes, the Bin Laden family, bang! You know, and he's like that. Then they were going to take his ass out with a drone. But the president said, nobody's going to believe it was him. This is going to be, and I realize in light of the fact that he's not releasing the photos, there's all this conversation, but no one's going to believe it was him. No one's going to, we won't even be able to get any pictures. At least in this case, we've got some photographs. And you know something? He can change his mind at some point about these pictures. I would say you wait a period of time to release the pictures. But the point that I'm making is it was a gutsy call. You cannot not give the man credit for that. I don't think there's a conservative, I don't think there's a reputable conservative Republican politician or leader that has not done that. Of course you do. Of course you do. In the words of the great actor Daniel Day-Lewis, playing Daniel Plainview in There Will Be Blood, of course you do. Of course you do.
Yeah, I love that scene, man. You don't own a railroad? Of course you do. Of course you do.
You do that lousy.
No, I don't. I do it almost as good as Phil.
Do it again, Phil.
Well, the scene is, he says, and you don't own the railroads? Of course you do. Of course you do.
Dad, I love that. It's fantastic.
That's better than anybody I've ever seen. That's better than Daniel Day-Lewis do it.
No, how can it be better than Daniel Day-Lewis when he created the character? All right, so anyway. So, what the hell am I talking about here, man? Oh, yeah, anyway, President Obama... All credit to President Obama on this thing, man. You can't be out of your freaking mind if you didn't. Now, here's the thing that I believe has happened, and I thought so. As soon as this thing got announced, wait a second, man. You know and I know, no more of this horse dung about how the guy's not competent. No more of this horse dung about how he doesn't make a commander-in-chief. All these jokes about how he salutes. All these jokes about how he'd never been in the military. all these jokes about what a joke he is, no experience, you know, one-time senator. I mean, this is a disaster, blah, 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 blah. Barack Obama, President Obama, unless you have to admit, if you don't, then you're I'm telling you, you're not even living on the planet Earth. That cat's credibility as a leader, and especially, obviously, as a commander-in-chief, just went up tenfold. Nobody can ever again, and I'm talking about Stephen Hayes, who works with the Weekly Standard, and the guy who wrote that book on Saddam Hussein that turned out to be wrong. But anyway, he's, you know, very conservative, and even he admitted you can't play that card anymore. You can't play the Obama is a joke as a military leader card. It ain't gonna happen. Not only did he show himself to be a military leader, he's the guy that kept pushing for this particular mission, one that was going to be on the ground, very up close, very personal. He gave the green light on this thing. So all of a sudden, what's happened? Obama is a viable, credible candidate for 2012. Yes, I understand the economy is going to be numero uno. We got a big, big problem with this freaking economy. I have no idea how you fix this thing other than, yeah, okay, you can cut a lot of taxes. And yes, that will begin to grow the tax base again anew as we begin to grow businesses. But I'm not even sure that that's the way to go. I think it is such an enormous debt. It's such an enormous hole, you know, that we have dug for ourselves, bailing out a banking industry to the tune of monies. We're not even sure we had to invest that much. We don't even know how much needed to be invested. We don't know how much money was going to be lost. We had no idea how big this situation really truly was, because all we knew it was toxic assets. So that's a big problem. But Obama is no longer a guy to be mocked or laughed at. And who found this out quicker than anybody else? You got it. Our dear close personal friend Donald Trump, who made the biggest mistake of his life when he decided to move away from talking about China and trade and oil and America's place in the global economy and all of these great things that he knows intimately and that he's very conversant in. He decided to move away from that, and he started talking about the birth certificate. And when that ran out, he wasn't done. When the birth certificate issue had finally been laid to rest, Trump was on to something else about Obama. He made Obama, not Donald Trump, the focus of his comments throughout those very early days. And the next thing you know, Obama happens to be president when he pulls the trigger on one of the biggest, you know, military operations in American history. And where does that leave Donald Trump? He hasn't talked about anything that he knows anything about. He hasn't really gotten into the grill of the American people to say, here's what we need to do with this economy in this situation. I'm Donald Trump. I know how to do this. He put all of his eggs into the Obama's a real joke basket. And guess what? No, he ain't. And you look like a chump, Trump. Now guess what's going on? And the same thing to some degree of Sarah Palin, who spent a lot of time bagging on Obama. A lot of people have spent a lot of time bagging on Sarah Palin. Well, we know what those people do. Those people look like jackasses, too. I mean, I'm telling you, everybody on the left that wasted all of that energy on what a incompetent and what a neo-Nazi and what a this and what a that Sarah Palin is, boy, did they start looking stupid after a while. I mean, really silly. Especially that cat Schuster. All right, so most Americans wouldn't vote for Palin or Trump, says the headline. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin and Donald Trump may currently be two of the best-known Republican stars in America, but being a celebrity doesn't necessarily translate into concrete political support. 58% of registered voters, regardless of party affiliation, surveyed by this whatever the hell over the past week, indicated they'd never vote for Palin or Trump. Never. The independent poll sought to measure voter enthusiasm for potential GOP candidates by the general public. Mitt Romney of Massachusetts and Mike Huckabee of Arkansas topped the poll in enthusiasm with 38% saying they would consider voting for Romney, 15% indicating they were enthusiastic about him, 34% responded they would vote for Huckabee. If I had anything to say about it, I would say that Romney's the best bet. I almost thought that Trump had a fighting chance if Trump would have been above the fray and continued talking about these things that he was talking about that got me interested in the first place. He didn't do that. He turned into Donald Trump, the TV host. He turned into Donald Trump, the gossip sheet editor. He turned into Donald Trump, the celebrity apprentice guy. He turned into just another jive-ass, jive-mother on The View, you know. Romney's the guy, in my opinion. Now, I know he ain't all that sexy, but I'll tell you one thing about Romney. He's clear. He doesn't hit below the belt. He talks about the issues. He's not very colorful.
Obama's colorful.
Shut up, man.
Why don't you shut up? So anyway, 15% of respondents indicated they are enthusiastic about Palin. Only 24% they would consider voting for her. Trump received a 9% enthusiasm rating. What does enthusiastic mean?
Probably all jumping up and down and everything.
What? Hey, are you enthusiastic? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't believe you. All right, so when we come back, the 10 most useless college majors. You got to listen to this. If you are graduating from, or excuse me, if you're graduating from high school and you're on your way to college, yes, I should say graduating from college, you have to listen to this list that we're about to lay on you when we come back from the break. The 10 most useless college majors. So we'll depress the hell out of you with that list. And don't forget to check us out on the web at www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back. Our final segment of the show. Don't forget, you can visit philhenryshow.com. Check out a show log that will tell you just what the hell we did on the show tonight. And you can look at that, and you can also, of course, go over our souvenir store. Is that right, bud?
Yeah, well, go over and get a Phil Henry t-shirt.
Man, you must have some kind of Tourette syndrome or something.
Hey, Tourette syndrome? What the hell's wrong with you, man?
I was going to say a mug, and I said T-shirt, and it came out T-E-E.
A mug or a T-shirt? How does it come out T-E-E?
I don't know.
Ooh, a bug or something. All right. 10 most useless college majors. Listen up very carefully as you enter into your college life. You high school seniors, those of you who are now moving on, yes, moving to the hallowed halls, to the ivy-covered halls, and all that bullcrap. Now, you'll be heading off to college, and you're going to be sitting your ass in there, and you're going to be like, you know, what do I do? With college graduation nearly upon us, two questions are running through the minds of nearly every soon-to-be alumnus. Was my degree worth it? And what do I do now? To find the most useless degree college students can get with their 4 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars, the Daily Beast wanted to know which majors offered only the fewest job opportunities, but those that also tend to pay the least. Now, this is not really something that's going to help a college graduate because they've already made their bed and now they've got to pee in it, you know. Take it easy. Wasn't that funny? The Daily Beast considered the following data points, weighed equally with each degree's numbers compared to the average for each category. To achieve a statistical category... Get out of here with this bull crap.
Just read it, man.
Well, they're giving me all of the, you know, the rationale, you know.
The methodology.
Well, get a load of the big word, man.
Wow.
All right. The 10th most meaningless college major, I say this is mostly, this will really help high school graduates. The college guys, what are they going to do? Hey, guess what? Your degree sucks. I know. Thank you. The 10th most useless degree to have, one in nutrition. The median starting salary, $42,200. The median mid-career salary, $56,000. The change in jobs from 2008 to 2018, they are expecting to add 5,600 jobs. That's expected the number of positions available for the alumnus to compete for, 5,600 additional jobs. The number of students awarded degrees, 80,756 between 2008 and 2009. What that means is essentially this. There are more degrees that have been awarded than is worthwhile for the student to be competing for these 5,600 additional jobs that will be added. And you ask yourself, you know, why is the nutritionist no longer the career that it used to be? And it could very well be that a lot of people are taking responsibility for their own health, you know?
Yeah, that's when you don't need to go to a doctor or nothing.
Because nutrition is something that every human being, every American, everybody on the planet should already know something about. Either you're involved in good nutrition or you're not, you know?
Yeah, I like to eat a lot of the grains on account of the bowel movement.
Why did you have to say that?
What are you doing, man?
Why do you got to go into detail? I don't even know if I'm going to finish this list. Number 9, chemistry. Number 8, mechanical engineering and technology. The 8th most useless college major, mechanical engineering and technology. Number 7, music. Boy, no kidding.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Number 6, child and family studies. Number 5, fashion design. Number 4, advertising. Number 3, agriculture. Number 2, horticulture. And the most useless degree to have, journalism. Because we can't read anyway. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is John Ilk. And our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Don't forget, for all your Phil Hendry needs, go to philhendryshow.com. If you haven't gotten enough of Phil today, you can get enough of Phil tomorrow. That's right, philhendryshow.com. Till tomorrow, Dick Clark, everybody.
Phil Hendry.